I'm Ron Platter with your VSiN Action Update. While nose tackle Vita Vea comes back to the Tampa Bay defense, the Buccaneers offense will be missing Antonio Brown for tomorrow's NFC Championship game at Green Bay. Packers cornerback Kevin King missed practice yesterday because of an aching back, so he is listed as questionable to play on what will be a snowy day at Lambeau Field. The Packers are favored by 3.5 or 4 against the Buccaneers. The over-under, a half point either side of 52. While Patrick Mahomes is on course to start in tomorrow's AFC nightcap, the Chiefs list running backs Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell as questionable. And the same goes for wide receiver Sammy Watkins, and on defense with cornerbacks Bashaud Breeland and Rashad Fenton. The Bills appear healthier, listing only wide receiver Gabriel Davis and defensive tackle Vernon Butler as questionable. Kansas City favored by mostly 3 and mostly with added juice. The over-under is a consensus 54. Still looking for their next head coach, the Houston Texans have interviewed ex-Detroit and Indianapolis head coach Jim Caldwell. They've also talked to Josh McCown, currently a backup to Deshaun Watson, who of course wants out. Kansas City offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, Indianapolis defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, Baltimore assistant head coach David Culley, and Buffalo defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. They have also been interviewed. Early games in college basketball's top 25. Marcus Sasser has 11 points for number 8 Houston. The Cougars have outshot Temple 45% to 32%. Playing in Philadelphia with Houston favored by 12, they are at the half, and the Cougars lead the Owls 36 to 21. Marcus Garrett has 10 points for Kansas. Davion Harmon, 13 for Oklahoma. A tight matchup, and it was expected to be. The game closed a pick'em with the 9th-ranked Jayhawks visiting the Sooners. At the half, Oklahoma 29, Kansas 28. They have just reached the half in Omaha, where number 11 Creighton has found itself out-rebounded by number 23 Connecticut. But it is the Blue Jays who have led most of the way, favored by 8.5. At the half, it is Creighton 29, Connecticut 28. Marek Dolezal has 14 points for Syracuse. The unranked Orange are playing at home, and they were laying a point when betting closed pre-flop against number 16, Virginia Tech. At the half, it is Syracuse 40 and the Hokies 34. Starting in the next couple hours, second-ranked Baylor is favored by 9 at Oklahoma State. Number 17, Minnesota, laying 6 at home against Maryland. Third-ranked Villanova is an 11-point home favorite facing Providence. And number 20, Clemson, catching 6.5, visiting unranked Florida State. Everything on the NBA schedule for today is tonight. Golden State taking an 8-7 record to Utah to take on the 11-7 Jazz, the home team favored by 7.5. Back-to-backing Philadelphia, a 7-point favorite at Detroit. Two teams also playing the second part of back-to-backs. Philadelphia, this will be at Atlantic Yards. Brooklyn is a 7.5-point home favorite against Miami. New Orleans laying 8, visiting back-to-backing Minnesota. Lakers laying 9.5 at Chicago. Two teams that got road wins last night converge at Dallas, where the Mavericks are 9-point favorites against the Rockets. And after Denver rallied to beat Phoenix in overtime last night, on the Suns' home court, they'll meet again, same place, Nuggets favored by 2.5. We've seen dunks that shatter the backboard. We've seen Shaquille O'Neal bring down a couple floor-mounted stanchions, but trending now on social media is a dunk like no other. Keyshawn Murphy is a Mississippi State recruit playing his senior year at Ramsey High in Birmingham, Alabama, and he's a power forward and means it. Last night, Murphy went up for a rim-high pass and came down with a two-hand slam. The backboard, the rim, and the entire support from the ceiling. 30 feet of heavy metal broke loose and was swinging from stabilizer struts across half the court, scattering players and officials. Nobody was hurt. The NFL is moving toward its grand finale. VSiN betting experts have every angle covered and every other sport, too. We're tracking the NBA, college hoops, horse racing, soccer, hockey, tennis, spectacular dunks, and new shows like The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw starting Monday at 2 Eastern. Get best bet emails, 24/7 video, point spread weekly, and your free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Patrick Mahomes clears the NFL's concussion protocol, and so he will play in the AFC Championship game, as if there was any doubt that he would be on the field. Yet his toe could be of concern. The legacy of quarterback Aaron Rodgers on the line in Green Bay as they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the NFC Championship game. It's a busy day in college basketball. We've got the NBA, the NHL, and Fight Island action coming up today. Welcome to the Saturday edition of Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Sennett in Detroit. James Salinas joins us from Denver, and Wes Reynolds is in the VSiN studios in Las Vegas. James, let's start off talking about the AFC Championship game. To the surprise of very few, Patrick Mahomes expected to play after clearing the concussion protocol. Now we wonder how well is that toe as he takes on the Buffalo Bills in the AFC title game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think ultimately for Mahomes, we all suspected he was going to, from the concussion side, get through the protocol and be ready to go from that standpoint. I think with the foot, the toe, whatever the issue is on that left foot, I think if anybody has the ability to alter his throwing mechanics and deal with any kind of foot injury, it would be Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we've seen him, and it feels like Mahomes has been around for so long now. He's a cagey veteran for really just his fourth season. This is going to be his third straight trip back to the AFC title game. And I think just because he is, they're on prime time a lot, but he's such a spectacular player. And we've seen him throughout the course of his young career thus far make every single throw imaginable. You know, he looks like a middle infielder the way he can drop three quarters, come sidearm, kind of sneak the ball through. We've seen him throw with his left hand as well. Hopefully we don't suspect him to throw the football that way, but just his ability to make every type of throw, his poise in the pocket, I think that's what's so impressive about Patrick Mahomes, Wes, is as a young player, yes, very talented player, but the poise that he plays with out there on the field, the kid never seems to get rattled. We've seen Kansas City fall behind. We definitely saw that in the playoffs last year in both of those games, as well as the Super Bowl coming back to win that game as well. Just such a poised presence in the pocket, and I think that really just picks up the confidence level of all of his teammates.
Yeah, absolutely, James. And I think the injury that's probably at least somewhat concerning is the left toe. Now, he's saying it feels better, but he's probably not going to say, it feels horrible, and give anything away here. But I'm interested to see what Kansas City does with the game plan, because these two teams did meet in week six on a COVID scheduled, I guess, Monday doubleheader. That was an early afternoon game in Buffalo, and Kansas City won 26-17 back in week six. But really what they did was they ran the ball. And they ran the ball right at Buffalo and right down their throats to a tune of 46 carries for 245 yards. Edwards-Helaire, who's still questionable for this game, got the bulk of that with 161 yards on 26 carries. But look, that's how you attack Buffalo. This is a small defensive line, a small front, more geared to rush the passer than they are to stop the run. So you have some depth at running back. And we saw that last week with Bell and with Williams. And they also Kansas City, what Andy Reid and Bieniemy and Mike Kafka, the offensive brain trust for Kansas City, likes to do is they like to run their receivers on end-arounds, like they do it with Tyreek Hill. They do it with Mecole Hardman. So they have a lot of different ways to attack you. And Andy Reid also moves the receivers around on the formations. You know, it's never, okay, this guy's in the slot the whole game, or this guy spread out wide left the whole game, or spread out wide right the whole game. He really moves guys around. So that's what makes it really tough to stop, plus the fact that they've got guys in space that are so quick and so fast that they can turn very short gains into very long games. So look, I think they're going to be fine, and I do think this is a little bit of a buy low spot for Kansas City, because Buffalo is the hot team. I think they've only not covered one game since that Hail Mary where they lost in Arizona in week 11, and that was the divisional round one against the Colts, whereas Kansas City, it seems like, hasn't covered in about 2 years, actually dating back to November 1st. And why don't they cover? Because they're usually big favorites. It's hard to cover as big favorites in this league when you're double digits going forward here. They did push against the Saints. They really probably should have covered that game. Same with the Buccaneers. I got lucky on the Bucs in that game as a home dog as they got in the back door. But because they're laying these numbers pretty much every single week, it's tough for them to cover. So I think that might give the Kansas City Chiefs a little value, at least going forward. Hopefully they get some good injury news on the running backs. I know Edwards-Helaire with the hip, questionable. He missed last time out. Le'Veon Bell, now questionable. So get some updates on those injuries. But I do like Kansas City in the spot.
Each of the last eight games for the Chiefs, they've won those each of those last eight by 6 points or less. That's an NFL record. They have gone 1-8 against the spread in their last nine. And discussing injuries, potentially a big injury for Kansas City. Not a lot of people talking about it, James. Rashad Breeland, the defensive back, suffered a concussion at the end of the divisional win over the Browns, and he is questionable for Sunday. And when you're facing off against Josh Allen and a potent attack, a passing attack from Buffalo, that could be a big injury.
Absolutely, and he's their most seasoned veteran when it comes to at least at the cornerback position. So, yeah, with him out, if he's not able to go tomorrow, then they are going to be very thin as far as their depth's concerned as well as their experience level playing at the corner position, and that's just it. I think that's what's been said. That this is going to be an intriguing matchup. I'm with Wes on this, too, at three with Kansas City. We rarely see low numbers like he's talked about, double digits, so many games all season long, and it is tough to cover those numbers. In this sense here, just laying the three, you're talking just a field goal to at least push the game. And I don't think field goals are even going to come into play. I think we've kind of seen that throughout the playoffs so far this season. 10 games so far this season, only three of them have been within one score, and none of them are down to 3 points to that matter. But I think from the Bills' offensive acumen, we know what they are. I think that trying to figure out what the identities of teams are and knowing what, or trying to anticipate what those game plans are going to be going into the matchups here, obviously for the Bills, it's not going to be about trying to establish the running game. They really don't have much of a running game. They're short at running back, too, with Moss being hurt. He will not be available for the Bills. They haven't really been doing that all season long. It's been start of the season. We're going to go empty. We got five wide receivers. We're going to spread the field, and we're going to put you in difficult matchups, one-on-one matchups, because now we've got guys that can make plays in space. We have, obviously, Beasley's been there for a couple seasons, hooking up with Josh Allen. Great ability to get open, especially on third down. But Diggs, what a get for the Buffalo Bills and that offense and Brian Daboll, their coordinator. Diggs has just gotten better and better week in and week out. Tremendous hands, really a tremendous, as well as a great route runner, really smart receiver, but also a competitive receiver. He's got some dog to him. He's got some alpha to him, and really picks up the energy and the intensity level of that offense. And he can make he can run all the routes in the route tree. He can make all the catches, and just plays with that toughness about him. I love that about Diggs. So I think Diggs will have a big game in this matchup, whether Breeland plays or not. Wes, I think Buffalo is going to be able to throw the football against Kansas City. The totals continues to get up there. I see some 55. Out here in Colorado. It's too much for me to bet the over, but I probably will stay away from the total because it is so many points. I think the weather will be fine in Kansas City, but I'm not going to play under. But again, like with you, I'm laying the three with Kansas City.
Yeah, James, it's going to be interesting to see what Allen and specifically Diggs are going to be able to do, because if you look at Kansas City from the pass defense standpoint, in the regular season, they held opposing wide receivers to the second fewest receiving yards in the league with 2159. You wouldn't expect that because Kansas City can give up some big plays, but the reason why they give up a chunk yardage a lot of times is because they're designed to limit big plays deep and on the perimeter, which means they funnel the ball towards the middle of the field, a lot of passes short, and as a result, when you're not giving up yards to receivers, but you're still giving up yards, you're giving up the most receiving yards to running backs in the league, I think 846 on the regular season. And and then fifth in yards allowed to tight ends for 954. So it's going to be interesting to kind of look at the props down the board. I mean, obviously Diggs and Brown are going to be the primary targets, but then when you're looking at Beasley or you're looking at Singletary out of the backfield, looking at the tight ends, Knox, for example. So, you know, maybe there's some value in some of those underneath guys to get their receiving yards a little bit easier, because the Chiefs don't want to get beat deep and get beat wide, but they're a little bit of a bend but don't break in the fact that, okay, we're going to give you the middle of the field, we're going to let you get, and then we're going to stiffen up as we get inside the red zone and toward the goal line.
Gil Alexander, Matt Eumanns, Lake Kansas City laying 3. Matt Brown, the Bills, plus 3.5. Pauly Howard, always can count on Pauly for an outside-the-box prop bet. He likes the longest field goal under 46.5 yards. Best bets available daily in your email, vsin.com/subscribe. NFC Championship game, a winter weather advisory in effect for Green Bay. It'll last through noon on Sunday. The game will be played later in the day, but yet 2 to 4 inches of snow. It'll be cold in the 20s. Winds out of the northwest at 7 miles an hour. Tampa Bay 1-17 when the temperature is less than 40 degrees. And James Salinas, you have talked all season long about this time of year, January in Green Bay. Home field advantage not necessarily there right now in this COVID environment, but Mother Nature is certainly on the side of the Packers in the NFC title game.
Definitely. I think there'll be some cheese heads in the seats, but they'll be few and far between. So look more like Swiss cheese out there as far as the attendance in the stands. But ultimately, yeah, it's actually fortunate. We've seen some games there in Green Bay in January much colder than this. I can think of a San Francisco game a number of years back that it was 20 below in that matchup. So I think from that standpoint, for Tampa, kind of fortunate that they're not playing in worse conditions. But I think it's the footing, and I think that's the bigger piece. It's not going to be a whole lot of wins, so I think that's helpful for both games in the passing department. But I think it's the footing, and it comes down to receivers. Like I've talked about this with Mike Pritchard a lot this past week on Betting Across America, who has the advantage when it comes to, yeah, there's going to be some snow on the ground. I don't think that grounds crew is going to be in any hurry to let's push all that snow off and let's have a beautiful, you know, beautiful field for this matchup. We saw that a couple weeks back when Green Bay hosted Tennessee on that Sunday night, and clearly Tennessee had no interest in playing in the cold and playing in the snow. But from that standpoint there, as a receiver, they have the advantage. They know where their breakers are going to come. They know where they're going to make their cuts. The DBs do not, and I think there's going to be some advantage for the Green Bay Packers because they are used to playing in those elements, in particular on offense, knowing where their breaks and their cuts are going to come from. So when we're talking about the passing game for the Packers, I think there's a clearly advantage there. You know, that's a very young secondary, Wes, for Tampa Bay. When they go to their nickel, those five players, those starters out there have a combined 11 years of experience. So very green, very fast, very aggressive, but very young and inexperienced as well. So there may be some advantages for the Green Bay passing attack to take advantage come Sunday.
Yeah, much like we mentioned Breland for Kansas City, although he did practice all week, listed as questionable, but it is expected he's going to go. Carlton Davis has a little bit of a leg issue, but has practiced in full this week and will play. Davis is kind of the key guy in the secondary for Tampa Bay because good and bad of what we saw with Carlton Davis last week. The bad is he's the one that got beat on that 56-yard trick play to Traquan Smith that Jameis Winston threw and fell on the fake, and Smith was wide open for the touchdown. The good on Carlton Davis' side is he held Michael Thomas to exactly 0 catches. That was the easiest bet I had all weekend, was the Michael Thomas under prop. I didn't expect it to be that easy, but you know, Carlton Davis pretty much shut him out, and he's going to likely be matched up mainly with Davante Adams. So if Adams is slightly downgraded, the fact that he's against a better defender in Davis, then that's going to bring Lazard, I think, really into play. And I like his prop over Valdez-Scantling, another one, and also Robert Tonyan. I know Danny Burke and I on Rush Hour were talking about that, and he loves the Robert Tonyan props in terms of over receptions and over yards as well, which is in like the mid-30-ish range. So if Adams is not going to get his or be even at least slightly down from his, then it's going to be a lot of the underneath guys. And James, you talked about the snow with Tennessee, and that game went over a few weeks ago. The term I like to use for the games with some snow are snowvers, because a lot of bettors are going to want to bet the under, like, oh my God, it's snow. You know, what are we going to do? It's going to be the ice bowl here. And it's not necessarily the snow. It's the wind. And just on the early forecast, it looked relatively benign. But we saw last weekend with wind forecasts, you really want to check those, because you didn't really see that number come down in the, I believe it was the Baltimore-Buffalo game, the late Saturday night divisional round game. And the total stayed at about 50, 49.5, 49-ish range. It didn't plummet. And that wind absolutely affected play. It affected the kicking game. It affected the passing game. And then all of a sudden you get a 17-3 final like you did with Buffalo over Baltimore.
With football playoffs and basketball and hockey games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN's reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of all the best matchups. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. More of Betting Across America presented by BetMGM coming up here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. First major horse race of 2021 is today, the Pegasus World Cup, and VSiN and FirstBet are teaming up for expanded coverage plus an exclusive offer for VSiN fans. FirstBet is offering a risk-free $20 bet to use on today's race at Gulfstream Park. Go to vsin.com/horses for details. You'll also find best bets from VSiN and FirstBet experts, including Brent Musburger, Jeff Siegel, and Dave Tooley. That's vsin.com/horses. Sign up now for a completely risk-free $20 wager to bet on today's Pegasus World Cup. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sutter in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Colorado, Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in the sports gambling capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. And Wes, what's going on right now in college basketball?
Yeah, a couple ranked teams in action early on. Kansas has just retaken the lead 50-49 and now tied up with the foul shot 50-50 at Oklahoma. Kansas, a small favorite to a pick 'em going off, now currently getting a point and a half at BetMGM, 140.5 the current in-game total. You'll recall Kansas on that game on Monday night was involved kind of in one of the bad beats of the year if you laid the Baylor side. 1.5 seconds left. Baylor was going to win the game. Kansas throws it in, gets that half-court heat at the buzzer, and a three goes down, and you can see the guy. It was kind of a funny moment, unless you were on Baylor. Guy on the right side of the screen, bottom right, does the surrender cobra, putting the arms over his head as he knew that three beat him as he laid the 8.5 with Baylor. So Kansas back on the road against Oklahoma, just trailing by one, a little under 10 minutes to go. Another ranked team team in action also, Houston over Temple, 49-36. About 10 minutes left to go in Philadelphia. Houston, by the way, was laying 12 on the close. So Temple kind of hanging around the number here as Houston continues to really dominate and roll through this American Athletic Conference. Creighton up 42-37 on UConn, 15:30 to go. Two ranked teams, UConn 23, Creighton 11. Creighton trying to rebound from that home loss against Providence the other night. Zagorowski came back last game, so Creighton at least getting some offense back in their backcourt for this game. -7.5, 137.5, your current total. And then a couple other ones we'll squeak in here. Virginia Tech, number 16, on the road at Syracuse. This game was Syracuse -1, Syracuse pick, depending on your shop. So far, Orange up 53-44 with 11:30 left to go in the second half. Also another score, Auburn 76-52, 76 points already with 13:06 left to go in the second. Overs are getting bet in Auburn games again, and rightfully so, with Sharif Cooper, the star freshman, in the fold, as this is going to sail over the total of 153.5.
In the NBA, the current NBA Beast of the East, Philadelphia 11-5 on the season, taking on the least of the East, the Detroit Pistons at Little Caesars Arena. James, Philadelphia 7-point favorites against the Pistons. Philadelphia impressive to start the season, a much better team with Joel Embiid on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, when he's available and he's healthy or he wants to play, I mean, tough matchup because he has the ability to stretch you out and shoot threes as well as put you down on the block and bang you around just based on his size. And really, he's got good footwork and tremendous touch for a big fella that size. So, but this is the NBA, right? You just came off a two-game set against Boston. We're able to sweep them through there. And you know, yeah, Boston's dealing with some injuries and definitely some COVID issues throughout that Celtics roster. But these are the kind of games where I'm not going to play the Pistons because they are a really bad team. Dumped another fourth quarter lead last night to lose to the Hawks. They're 3-12 currently right now and moving, trying to put pieces together here with a rebuilt roster. But these are the kind of games where teams kind of go on the road. You just had to come off a big game or a big series, in this case, the two-game set against the Celtics, and they kind of sleepwalk through some of these games on the road when they're playing inferior talent. Sometimes I'll go and I'll bet those games first half in favor of that the underdog. But in this case here, with the Pistons at 3, it's just not a team that I can back right now because I just don't like what they're able to do through any quarters, let alone the first half.
Yeah, this was a team, the Pistons, a rare favorite last night against Houston. Couldn't make it hold, lost by one at home. The spot says to bet Detroit, as James was saying, because you've got a Philadelphia team that got a back-to-back sweep over the Celtics on Wednesday and Friday. Haven't seen anything on the injury news. If Embiid is going to rest, that's always a possibility on a back-to-back. So I would probably have to hold my nose and play Pistons or nothing, but the choices at this moment is nothing.
Philadelphia laying 7 at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. The Pistons, the worst record in the East at 3-12. We'll talk Fist of Fury, Fight Island, UFC coming up next. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Become a VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN sports betting analysis for the NFL Conference Championship weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 a month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, in our Point Spread Weekly Betting Guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. We're back betting across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett in the Motor City. It is James Salinas in the Mile High City. In Sin City, it's Wes Reynolds of the VSIN Studios at the South Point. And we have some injury news to report in the Detroit Pistons, Philadelphia 76ers matchup coming up later today. Wes, what do you got?
Yeah, this was the game we discussed before we went to the last break. And line now down to 6.5 at BetMGM. The injury news actually on the Pistons side. Blake Griffin going to rest with what's designated as injury management. Derrick Rose also not going to go. I don't know if that's really going to make a difference as the line is going down. I don't think it's necessarily predicated off that. I think maybe some guys are taking the sevens and trying to gobble them up with the possibility that Joel Embiid might sit out on a back-to-back, currently listed as questionable. So starting to see some 6.5s in the market, 6.5 at BetMGM. I really don't think it matters, honestly. I mean, with Griffin, look, he can still have good games, but he's on the second half of like the back nine of his career, so he might be a little bit past his prime years anyway. So maybe guys just gobbling up the sevens as now it ticks back to 7 at BetMGM with the possibility that Embiid does not go tonight.
Fight Island, UFC is back. The big main event, Dustin Poirier taking on Conor McGregor. McGregor laying $3, Poirier plus 240. James Salinas, I know that football is your game. You enjoy college basketball. Do you have a play or do you have anything, any action tonight in the UFC Fight Island matchup?
Yeah, the only action I have, I think what we've saw through the pandemic, right, especially about 6 months ago when we didn't have much of anything going on, was that UFC, that they did a tremendous job to really push themselves out there and figure out how do we put ourselves out there mainstream from a sports viewing perspective as well as a sports betting perspective, because really there wasn't a whole lot going on outside of a few golf tournaments. So kudos to them because they've been able to pull in a much wider audience to this point now. And now you have the headliner back that really is synonymous in the face of UFC when we're talking about Conor McGregor. For me, the only bet that I've made, I haven't made any bets on any of the undercard or any of the main card matchups here, but I did play the McGregor under 2.5 rounds, just that this fight won't go beyond the 2.5 rounds, obviously. Now you're laying juice. I think there's going to be a big price premium to pay on McGregor, whether it's him to win, when's he going to win, when are the rounds, when is the fight going to end. So it was just 2.5 rounds under, but I had to pay kind of a steep price for it at $1.85. I don't normally like to pay a lot of juice in any kind of sport for that matter, Wes. But ultimately for me, I just from some of our VSIN colleagues that are across the landscape of the network, very sharp guys, Jordan Sherwood, Lou Finicaro in particular. Those are guys that I tend to listen to a lot. And I think I'm kind of consensus from that matter. Any plays for you, not only on McGregor, but any of these other main card fights?
Yeah, I'll start with the main event, and I ended up playing McGregor by TKO or knockout at minus 175. It's kind of in that range now. It's about $2, give or take 5, 10, or 15 cents, but that's just how I think that this is going to end if I think McGregor is going to win the fight, which certainly the market does, because this opened relatively low globally at minus 185 and now up over $3 pretty much across the landscape. What I saw from McGregor yesterday is that, look, he looked in very good shape. He looked fit. He didn't have to really cut very much weight to get to this weight limit. Of course, these two guys have met before, hence Poirier versus McGregor 2 at UFC 57. First meeting was back in September of 2014. McGregor with a TKO in the first round. And look, different fighters, a lot of time has passed. And that was kind of when McGregor was on his way to like UFC and really mainstream superstardom, because he was starting to put together this hot streak. He had not won a title yet. He had not really been main event on a big pay-per-view. He'd been kind of like a fight night TV type main event guy before he became pretty much the biggest star in the company. So you know, he's got to win over this guy. And I think for Poirier, who certainly is live, I'm not going to tell people, hey, that's a bad bet if you're betting him on the big price, kind of on the drift upwards to take as good a number as you can. He's certainly live and a very good and very tough fighter. But his style, I don't think, is the best matchup necessarily for Conor McGregor, because Dustin Poirier is a guy who gets in a lot of firefights and can be hit, is very hittable. And when you do that against a really good natural counterpuncher like McGregor, who I still think has his power at this standpoint. Now, the one thing we don't know is if he has the timing and the speed to go along with that power. And that's what it had made him such a force, really, in this sport, is that it was kind of timing and precision combined with power. Poirier doesn't have the power advantage over Conor McGregor. So, you know, he's kind of more of a volume puncher, really, than he is, you know, that pinpoint accuracy. Okay, I've got the hit it and quit it, one-shot knockout power like McGregor does. So I do think if McGregor's going to win this fight, it's going to have to be earlier, as indicated by James playing the under rounds, because I think if this does get into rounds four, round five, it gets in a little bit of the deeper waters later in the fight, that's going to favor Poirier, who I think in terms of cardio has always kind of been considered the better of the two in this matchup. So McGregor by TKO is where I went. I did go also with the co-main event here, and this was Dan Hooker, and now it's coming back up. I laid 134 with Dan Hooker over Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler is a very good fighter. This is his UFC debut, but MMA fans know who Michael Chandler is. He was a champion in Bellator, and quite frankly, he fought good guys in Bellator. I mean, I think because it's the second company, it's like, oh, he fought Total Tomato Cans. Well, no, he did not. He fought Pitbull Friere, and he fought Benson Henderson when he was still more in his prime, Eddie Alvarez, Will Brooks. He fought really good guys and beat some really good guys, but I just think he might be on the wrong side of the age here. He's had a lot of wars in the cage and in the octagon, and now on the side of 34, he's getting a young prospect that's stepping up in class in the Kiwi, Dan Hooker, and I do like Hooker in this fight as a small favorite.
Gordon Sherwood does as well, Wes. Hooker laying $1.30 as a favorite in that main undercard matchup, UFC. Coming up later today, the Baylor Bears are playing for their 14th consecutive win. We'll preview the Bears and the Cowboys of Oklahoma State when Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, continues on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sign up with BetMGM for a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Conor McGregor to win against Dustin Poirier. Just use the bonus code VSIN100 and get in the ring with the king to take advantage of this offer. Download the app and make your bet with the bonus code VSIN100 today. Paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan. Disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. Nevada, 1-800-270-7117. For confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF at Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Michigan went online with their betting this week. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett in Detroit, it's James Salinas in Denver, Colorado. And at the VSiN Studios, it's Wes Reynolds. We're back here with college basketball and one of the top teams in the country, the Baylor Bears, who have started the season with 13 consecutive wins. They're in a matchup at Gallagher-Iba Arena today against a shorthanded Oklahoma State team. Wes Reynolds?
They are. And number two, Baylor. This was around eight and a half, nine moments ago. Now up to 11. This from Jacob Unruh, and you can follow him at underscore Jacob and then UNRUH, who is a college basketball writer and insider for the Oklahoman newspaper. And he reported that there were eight players warming up for the Oklahoma State Cowboys to take on number two Baylor. And one of those players not warming up was Cade Cunningham, who, by all intents and purposes, should be the freshman of the year, perhaps in college basketball, and in about every mock draft to this standpoint, is slated to be the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft. Certainly a one and done. His brother is actually an assistant on this Oklahoma State staff, and I actually was going to like Oklahoma State in this spot with Baylor off the big win over Kansas, now going on the road, and I'll talk about this, you know, in this edition of BAA and further additions that we're going to have, further shows. You know, you get these ranked teams that get a few wins in a row and they can get a little fat and happy. And I talked about that with Michigan last week at Minnesota, where Michigan got priced so high in the market and Minnesota was able to get them and get them pretty easily last Saturday. So I thought maybe this could be a similar spot for Oklahoma State. But without Cunningham, it's an absolute pass for me. So not going to go against Baylor here. Now up to 11 at BetMGM, even starting to see some 11 and a halves market wide. I think some sharp guys really did kind of like this Oklahoma State side to stay in because they've been pretty good this year. They beat Kansas at home. This is a team that has an NCAA tournament ban due to some previous year sanctions, still under appeal, by the way. But I think the market is kind of underpriced them to say, okay, these guys, they got Cunningham, he's one and done, and they're not slated to be in the NCAA tournament. So it's like that they're not going to give a damn and not going to give efforts, and they certainly have so far this season, but absolutely up against it without Cunningham. So now this has to be an absolute pass for me. Market's already been adjusted to on the Baylor side upwards of about 3 points already. So if you're getting in on the Bears, might be a little late to the party.
Seeing some 11s in the market as well on the Baylor Bears. Cade Cunningham out, Oklahoma State with only eight guys on the available. So you got five and three subs there, James Salinas, and this is another COVID-19 cautionary tale for bettors. Know what you're getting into and perhaps wait until as late as possible to put your bets on these games when there are COVID-19 personnel issues or potential personnel issues.
Absolutely. Whether it's COVID, it's injury, we might start seeing some opt-outs as the season progresses. We definitely saw that in college football. So absolutely. You always want to try to get the best price and get the best point spread, get the best number. But in this case, especially this season of all seasons in any of these sports, knowing who's actually available personnel-wise, roster-wise, who's going to be on that floor is vital as well. And in this standpoint here, I like teams where I thought it was a good spot for Oklahoma State as well. I really love betting home dogs, conference dogs in spots like that, and they definitely fit the bill. Did the Cowboys here, but yeah, with Cade Cunningham gone, obviously a spectacular talent, not only from his scoring acumen, but very good passer too. So gets other players involved and can facilitate the offense. The only thing that I've seen with Oklahoma State late in games is that then it becomes it's a tight game, comes down to Cade Cunningham. Cunningham making plays, and the rest of the team gets a little stagnant offensively. But that's going to happen when you have such a talent, especially if you're going to be in close games. And now with the line crawling way up to where it's at now, 11, 11 and a half. Yeah, here it is. This is going to get to 12. I can see it juiced towards Baylor still. Going to stay away from this game, too, just from that standpoint. It's Cunningham, not only his ability to make plays, putting the ball in the basket, but getting other players involved. The other thing with Oklahoma State, it was already a thin bench to begin with. It's a very young team. So the fact that who those eight players are, number one, not one of them not being Cunningham, who are the other ones that are not available? So this is going to be a tall order now for them to have to go into this Baylor team. I think maybe there might be a little bit of a letdown from Baylor, knowing that their prize recruit there, that freshman stud, is not going to be playing. I think ultimately from the Baylor side, they've been so impressive. I love what they've done from both sides of the floor. Not only offensively, they share the ball well. They can come at you. It's really a guard-oriented team, but they can come at you from so many different angles, from guard play, shoot the ball aggressive to the cup, but also defensively, how they guard the perimeter, their help defense along the baseline. Tremendous team. Absolutely, they're 13-0 in the class of the conference right now. But yeah, like Wes said, without Cunningham, I can't back the dog. Even though this number continues to climb, it's a stay away for me as well.
Baylor Bears this season, number one of the NCAA in scoring margin, outscoring their opponents by an average of 24.8 points a game. They have won all 13 games by at least 8 points. And as we've mentioned, Oklahoma State down to 8 players, Cade Cunningham among those who will not play today. And the number is drifting towards 11.5 and 12 at some books. Let's talk about number 3, Villanova, winners of 7 straight at the Finneran Pavilion in Philadelphia against the Providence Friars today. Jay Wright's team, they barely knocked off Seton Hall by 2, 76-74. This is after a long layoff due to COVID for the Wildcats. It was their first game since December the 23rd, and Jay Wright did not like what they did defensively. James Salinas, they're laying 11 today against Providence.
Well, and obviously, you haven't practiced. I mean, when you have an entire month off, not only just from the games and competing against your opponents, but limited practice time. So there's going to be some rust, and a lot of times that's going to come down to, yeah, maybe there's some shooting acumen. The guys can go out and find a basket somewhere to keep working on their jump shot. But when it comes to defense, especially the way that they play it with the Wildcats and Jay Wright, it is a collective team. It's not just individuals guarding the ball. It's collective team help that they have, and it takes some time to get back in the flow with those things and be able to communicate. And I think one of the advantages we've been able to take it to find within college basketball is teams that haven't had to go through any kind of layoffs from games or practice and are really solid defensively, especially when they're going into environments on the road that aren't your normal college basketball environment, where you have the ability to communicate verbally, especially on the defensive side. That really lends to these teams going on the road now. It's a different year unlike any other year, obviously, but it's one of the things that I've been trying to find, too, with some of these road teams going in to what typically would be a very difficult environment, and going into Villanova would be a very difficult environment to go into if there were fans in the stands, but there won't be anybody in there from that standpoint. I kind of favor Providence. I see some 11.5s out here at this standpoint. You know, the fact that Villanova, they can shoot the basketball, and they're going to be very... They're gonna protect the ball, so they're not gonna turn the ball over. They can shoot the ball from deep very well. But Providence, this is one of the this is the opportunity, big game here for them. Every time you get to play Villanova, they're gonna take every opponent's best shot. Getting an 11.5 here, Providence, they haven't been that bad. I know their record is 3-4 in the conference, but of those 4 losses, it's been by a collective 19 points. So they actually show up, they compete. They've lost some heartbreakers down by a basket and a point here or there. So I think they come ready. They come compete. I like the spot here for Providence, considering especially since Villanova really hasn't been able to play or practice very much, Wes.
Yeah, I made this number 10. I think it's right around where it is. I mean, you want to look at Villanova. Of course, they had that close shave with Seton Hall the other night, but that could be attributed to a little bit of rust, and plus the fact that Seton Hall is a very solid club, in the fact that Villanova was only able to win by 2. Providence, when you look at them, and you made some good points about Providence, James, this team is pretty well tested on the road, and they've got 3 nice wins away from home. A win at TCU down in Fort Worth, OT win at Seton Hall, and then the other night on Wednesday night, one at Creighton with Zagorowski back in the lineup for the Blue Jays, and they were shorthanded one or two guys, but still, that was a big win for Providence and one they needed because they had lost 3-0 in conference play. So 8-6, currently 4-4. I thought the number was about right. I would expect a little bit more sharpness out of Villanova from that standpoint, and the fact that they played this past Tuesday night, but previously they had not played since December 23rd with the win over Marquette. So maybe a little bit of rust for Jay Wright's guys. I thought the number was about right. I would lean to the Providence side, though, so I'd be with you from that standpoint.
Another home conference dog to possibly look at. James, I ask you about this one. West Virginia, an 11-point favorite at Kansas State today.
Yeah, there's another team. We're talking about West Virginia. They've had layoffs. Kansas State's had major issues on the roster with COVID and injuries as well. So struggling there at the bottom of the Big 12 conference. And I think for West Virginia, they're having to adapt to some lack of size that has transferred out of the program. So from this standpoint here, not being on the court, I've typically tried to stay away from some of these teams until they start to get themselves right and get themselves more games.
Second hour of Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, is coming up here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.